I am Elle Penelope, author of epic fantasy and paranormal romance, and welcome to My Imaginary Friends, a look behind the scenes of an author mapping the worlds in my head and making them a reality. Hello, friends. Today is Saturday, December 5th, 2020, and this is episode 97 of My Imaginary Friends. I'm Leslie. This episode is sponsored by the new romantic suspense from bestselling author Alexandra Ivey called Don't Look. If you love harder-edge suspense, check out Don't Look, where a serial killer is targeting women in a small town in Wisconsin. Veterinarian Lynn Gale is on the killer's list, and the son of the town's late sheriff, Keir Jansen, is back in town to warn her. It's perfect for fans of Lisa Jackson, Mary Burton, and Alison Brennan, and any thriller or romantic suspense lover, and it's full of chilling suspense and unforgettable twists. Don't Look by Alexandra Ivey is out now, and you can find it wherever books are sold or at kensingtonbooks.com. So this week's best thing is a tie between two things that I watched on TV. Between The World and Me, which is based on the book by Ta-Nehisi Coates, and The Queen's Gambit. I watched Between the World and Me. It's on HBO Max, and it's sort of like a documentary, but it's a dramatized version of a nonfiction book. And I just thought it was really well done. And for me, because it's made by Howard University students, or not students, but alumni, or people who went there. Are you an alumni if you didn't graduate? I'm not sure. We'll call them alumni, just for the sake of argument. Because, you know, I don't know if I've said this before on the podcast, Ta-Nehisi was at Howard with me. We were in a couple classes together. And then the director of the movie, Camila Forbes, is also a Howard grad. I think she was ahead of me, but I remember her from being around back in the day on U Street. And then I saw Brad's name in the credits. Bradford Young is a cinematographer. He has worked with Ava DuVernay, and he was nominated for an Oscar. And he definitely worked on my films. I worked on his films. I was AC for him, which is assistant camera, when he was cinematographer on various films. And like, how are people doing big things? They did something for Chadwick Boseman. There were also people in the movie that are other Howard grads who are actors, and there's a whole section on Howard and Howard in the 90s when I was there. And I was like, they're showing all these photos of people. I'm like, oh, I remember her. I remember him. I remember her. And my husband was like, okay. And it was just really nostalgic. And but other than that, besides that, it was really well done and moving and emotional. And we have the book. I haven't read the book, but I really appreciated the film version and I would recommend it. I also finally got a chance to sit down and watch The Queen's Gambit, and it's also really well done. It's really well shot. The acting is so good. The storytelling is really good. I think it does slow down in places, but overall, I was just, after watching it, I was exhilarated. I texted somebody that I was like, I feel really energized after watching the end of this. It is as good as people are saying. There's one part when I was worried that it was going to kind of devolve into like a magical Negro narrative, but they actually addressed it in the script and in the film. And yeah, I think that I still had little twinges, but overall, I still think that it was really well done. So if you haven't had a chance to watch it. And yeah, for me, like 7 episodes, I just had to carve out the time because my husband watched the first one and it was way too slow for him. And mostly, most of my TV time is time with my husband. So we watch things that we can both agree on. And so when I want to watch things that he has no interest in, usually that time I would be reading. And so my reading takes a hit when I'm watching something that I want to watch that he doesn't. Anyway, writing news, my writing update. This week was all about the research, and I'm so glad that I took some time to do that, which I'd known I needed to do. So I'm working on the 1920s fantasy heist novel, and I had been doing other revision things, but getting back into the research has sparked ideas and things that I wanted to tackle. The biggest news of the week is the maps that I found. Library of Congress website has digitized versions of these maps of DC from the early 1900s. So the latest one that they had online was 1919, which is 6 years before my story is set, but I think that's close enough. It's basically a whole atlas. So it's really cool. You can look at it, and I will put a photo in the show notes just in case you are geeking out on old maps like me. But it shows the streets and the outlines of the buildings and some of the building names of the businesses that were there. So like the larger ones. And it's exactly what I need because I want to reconstruct U Street in DC in 1925 and be able to like mentally walk down the street and see, okay, I'm passing this drugstore and I'm passing this cafe and this theater. And so I can build the environment for my characters. I was so excited by these maps. And so then immediately I was thinking, well, how can I stitch these together? Because it's an atlas. So to get, if you're familiar with DC, to get from Howard, the Howard area, the U Street corridor and Shaw all the way to like 18th Street or DuPont Circle is like 8 or 10 different pages of maps. So I have all the images, but if I want to like go, it's like 3 or 4 blocks at a time, basically you're getting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe like 9 square blocks on a page. And so I tried to bring them into Photoshop and stitch them together, but the slightly different sizes on each page. And I was like, this is not a good use of my time. And then I was like, well, can I do this online? Can I make an interactive map? And I tried doing that very quickly with this plugin that I have, but it wasn't making the maps big enough. So what I found was this site called scribblemaps.com. Google Maps wasn't able to give me, without like digging into the API, like a clean, empty version of the map. Scribble Maps has that. And I can plot sites and points of interest businesses on it. I can have little markers. And so I can actually make my own map online and do what I kind of wanted to do. Now, the free version doesn't really let you export, but as long as I use it on the website, I should be okay. And I can use that as my reference. I've been creating a list of businesses from that era. Now, some of them, I don't know exactly, you know, what year they opened and what year they closed, but I don't think anybody's going to be going behind me and be like, this delicatessen closed in 1923, you know, although that would bother me. But I understand that that is, at that point, we're getting ridiculous. But I think it's just going to let me, you know, plot the big businesses. Like I want to mention some of the theaters, some of the nightclubs, just to give that kind of realism to the environment and to make the neighborhood come alive, because this is the neighborhood that, you know, the characters live in and they go to the store there every day and they're talking with the shopkeepers and, you know, that's in the book. That should be in the book. And I feel like I'm just so much more grounded. So it wasn't just that stuff. It was some other stuff that I discovered that I'm like, oh, I can include that information in the scene that I was already making and just make it fuller and more vibrant. And that's what the research that I'm doing right now is for. So I'm happy about that. I do need to know when to cut it off. And because it's always more, like you could always find one more detail, one more, you know, tidbit of information that would just make it richer. But I do need to write the next draft at a certain point and get back to the character and plot stuff and try to do it in tandem as much as possible. But yeah, I geeked out about these maps for like 2 days. Regarding my last episode, several people had reached out in the comments about the Remarkable and using an iPad, the iPad Pro with the Apple Pencil, to do what I was trying to do with the Remarkable, which is mark up my manuscripts and not have to print them out. And I appreciate that. So thank you guys. I have an iPad. It's sitting right here. It sits there. It always needs a charge because I don't really use it for anything. I really mainly use it to check websites on tablets, but I have an emulator for that. I don't like to read on it because of the screen. Like the e-paper is easier on my eyes, or the e-ink. It's one of the features of e-ink is reducing eye strain. And so I can't read books on my iPad, or I can obviously, but I don't like it. I feel it. I feel the eye strain when I try to read on my phone or my iPad for long periods of time. So that's another reason why I was really excited about the e-ink. But I have been using the Remarkable a lot just for note-taking, and I still love using it, and it's still super fun. So I'm so happy with it. And I think I'm going to get to do my videos today because the house is quiet. In professional development news, I have a new plan for trying to ensure that I actually take the workshops and the online classes that I've purchased. I did go to my mastermind and they tasked me with doing like a little report. So basically I'm going to create an infographic for our next meeting based on one of the courses that I'm supposed to be taking. Having sort of a deadline and a milestone to meet that other people are going to ask me about has really helped. It forced me to actually carve out some time and sit down, which I did yesterday, and watch the first couple of lessons of this course and take some notes on it so that I can today put together a little infographic and just sort of give like a book report, you know, like what you did in school was you read the book and then you give the report to prove that you read it and to share your knowledge. But it also is helpful because you learn more when you teach others. And so if I'm taking the class with an eye towards, I'm going to relay this information to my mastermind group, then I pay attention a little bit more. I'm taking more notes. I'm thinking about I'm just thinking about the concepts more. And that's another idea. So, you know, some people start YouTube channels or podcasts to teach other people what they learn. And that's another way to do it. So that is working for this week. It still fell off the list, honestly, taking the class, but I had to do it late Friday in the evening because I was like, I could do it Saturday, but I'm going to be pretty busy this weekend and mastermind's on Sunday and I want to make sure I get it done. So I squeezed it in there. The slot I gave it slipped to work stuff because I got, for some reason, like 15 emails on Friday. And I was like, oh my gosh, from clients and stuff. So, but I'm making baby steps. I'm making progress. So that's all I can ask for. Several people have contacted me about the HB90 bootcamp class that author Sarah Cannon is holding. It starts up December 13th. And I have a testimonial on the website. I definitely recommend it. HB90 class, I know that she's expanded it since I've taken it, so it's probably even better, even more information. But I don't use all the techniques. I don't use all the techniques of anything, but the class was still super helpful. I'm so glad that I took it because it got me thinking about time management in a different way. Not just time management, not just planning projects and to-do lists, but what are you doing all this work for? You know, like she goes through sort of career management and self-management, and then uses that for your time management so that you can actually identify the things that you need to be doing and cross off the list of things that you don't need to be doing, and then use that to plan. And then also taking into account how much time you actually have versus how much time you think you have. So I incorporate so many of those techniques, and I did use her planner for a while. I modified her planner and I'm still modifying things. But if anybody out there is thinking about taking this HB90 bootcamp, which is a productivity and planning for writers, but I think there's a lot of other people who take the class too. Yeah, I have an affiliate link. It is in the show notes if you are interested. And if you have any questions, feel free to email me, DM me, however you want to get in contact with me, and I will try to help you out. In other writing world news, the big story that I happened upon this week, because I'm not on social media that much, is Lenora, author Nora Roberts, was being harassed on her own blog in the comments of a blog post about publication schedules. And I will link to this in the show notes. There's a woman named Deborah, who is the new Karen, I guess, who believed that she knew more about Nora Roberts' publication schedules and her ability to publish books faster than Nora Roberts does. And Nora Roberts is actually commenting to her, like engaging with her in the discussion in the comment section in a way that is far more polite than she needed to be on her own website, as far as I'm concerned. And it was just entertaining and also frustrating and like saddening. Basically, the woman wanted more books. I believe Nora Roberts publishes at least 4 books a year, if not more, traditional, which is an achievement. And, you know, Deborah was just like, I know you could publish them faster. And I actually bought a t-shirt that someone made, I saw on Twitter, that says, I have personally explained the process to you, Deborah. If anyone wants this t-shirt, I'll put a link to it, but I plan to wear that with pride. I just think that's a hilarious inside joke. And I have another t-shirt that I got from Cockygate, which was the whole trademark kerfluffle that I'm not going to get into again, but someone tried to trademark the word cocky in books and book titles, and it was a whole thing. So Cockygate was raising money for the legal defense funds of the people that were targeted by this individual. And so I have this, I think it says fight like a romance author. That's what the t-shirt says. And it's a tank top, so I wear it to the gym. I know that people don't understand what it is. And I've tried to explain, like, to my personal trainer. She was looking at the shirt and I was like, oh, it's this thing with the court case and trademarks. And there's no way to really explain it so that it makes sense to people. But it's like an inside joke. And I think that's kind of funny. So, if you are listening to this in real time, on Wednesday, December 9th at 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be doing an event called Once Upon a Winter Ever After, which is presented by SMP Romance, St. Martin's Press, with authors Farah Roshan, Nancy Nagel, and Lily Manon. And we're going to be telling a story live in real time based on viewer-listener feedback. And so there's a poll up now. You can vote on character names and plot twists and things like that. And I will link to that also. It should be really fun. I'm super excited about this. I don't know how good I am at thinking of things on the fly, but I did... At ReaderCon last year, CSE Cooney and Marty Cahill, I believe, they did a workshop, an improv workshop for authors. And improv is always scary to me. I'm extremely self-conscious as a person. And I'm not the fastest thinker. I'm not like fast witty and comeback, you know, quick with comebacks or things like that. But I went to this workshop for doing improv and it was so much fun. And I found myself like charging in there when other people were kind of holding back because I just wanted to get the most out of it. And so I think this is going to be like an improv thing. That's how I'm going to approach it. I don't know if I'm any good at it. There was also at the Muse Writer Center in Norfolk, Virginia, they probably still have it, or I don't know if they can do it online, but improv classes for writers because it is, and comedy classes and like stand-up comedian classes. And those things, I think, help to free your mind, from the constraints that you have. I think taking like a real improv class would be extremely terrifying, but good for me. I don't know if I'll ever actually do it. So anyway, check out this event, Once Upon a Winter Ever After. It should be really cool. And that's all for me for this week. I hope that you have a wonderful week, and I will talk to you next week. For episode show notes and to sign up for the Footnotes newsletter and get the show notes in your inbox, go to myimaginaryfriendsshow.com. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and watch the video episodes on YouTube. I would really appreciate a rating and review to help support the show. And My Imaginary Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. For more fantastic podcasts, go to frolic.media/podcasts.